Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey, everyone. Welcome once again to The Secret World of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and joining me, as always, it's the big dog, Callan. And he's off the leash.
Ruby dooby roo.
Oh, Callan, should I kick us off with a doozy of one of these?
Don't you want a Mac fact? Don't you want a fact?
Hit me.
Callan, have you heard of a sculpture in Chicago which is called Cloud Gate?
Yeah.
Does that ring any bells to you?
Yeah.
So Cloud Gate is a sculpture in Chicago. It's colloquially known as the Bean because it looks like a giant chrome bean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People might have seen this, on tourism videos, that stuff. It's quite an impressive sculpture. It's like a 10-ton, 50 meter long bean, chrome bean. Anyway, today's Mac Fact concerns concerns a Facebook user named Alfredo Lunar, who in 2017 launched a Facebook event called Help the Bean Turn Back into Alex Mack.
Okay, so to get this joke, I think you need to understand that the bean is like really, really shiny to the point of like it looks like a bad computer-generated effect.
Yeah, big shiny metallic bean.
It looks like the puddle that Alex Mack turns into.
Yeah, and in the event is still it was in December 2017, but in the event page is still live on Facebook, and in the about section it reads that Alex Mack was an ordinary 1994 teenager when an accident with Paradise Valley Chemical Plant's weight loss drug GC-161 turned her into a puddle of shiny goop. Now she is older and trapped in downtown Chicago, and only we can help her get back home.
Very good.
5,400 people responded to this. It was very popular. And he's written, I don't know that people actually turned up, but the last post is from December 10, the day after this event, 2017. And it's an image of Alex Mack photoshopped into the Chicago skyline that says, "We did it. Thanks to everyone who believed in our favorite 90s Queen Alex. Welcome to the future, girl. Enjoy Chicago." And there are comments like, "Mission accomplished."
That's very nice. I like it when the internet does nice like things like that instead of, organizes coups.
Yeah. There's a comment somewhere down where everyone's like, this is really funny. God, we needed a laugh like this in 2017.
Very good.
So that's this week's Mac Fact. Genuine Mac Fact. How about that?
Well, it's not really a fact. I mean, I guess it's a fact that there is a Facebook page, but
it's factual. It happened.
Mm. Okay. I'll give it to you. It's more of a fact than we've been getting recently.
So this episode 16 of season 2 of The Secret World of Alex Mack is called The Party. And in this episode, Alex is, I guess she's her nemesis.
Yeah.
Her sworn enemy, Kelly, waltzes back onto the scene. It seems like Alex has episodes of like, where she gets to hang out with Scott when Kelly's not around. Mm. But then whenever Kelly's back in the picture, she really gets in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So in this episode, Kelly starts off by being nasty to Alex when she's just having an innocent conversation with Scott in the hallways.
Yeah.
But then later on, Kelly overhears that Alex Mack's parents are going to be away on vacation for the weekend. So Kelly, having heard this, she really changes her tune and really decides that she wants to be in Alex's good books and kind of become her friend. She sees Alex and she apologizes for how she's treated her in the past, and she helps her get a ketchup stain off her shirt in the bathroom. And she suggests to Alex that they kind of bury the hatchet by just hanging out as friends on the weekend. Actually, she also, she asks Alex if she wants to come and babysit for her family again.
Mm.
Where Alex refuses.
That was her being mean, was kind of like.
So she's mean, asking her to babysit, reminding her that Alex is less than her family.
Yeah.
But then she changes her tune when Alex, she overhears Alex saying that her parents are going away for the weekend and tries to worm her way into being mates with Alex. And Alex is very suspicious the whole time, doesn't really understand what her motives are, but look, decides to give her a chance because Alex is a good kid at heart. So Kelly invites herself over to Alex's house on Sunday and she arrives. Then shortly after, Lewis, Ray, Nicole, and Robin arrive because they don't really trust Kelly. They want to figure out what's going on with her. And then all of a sudden, like half of Daniel Atron Junior High School turns up because Kelly has thrown a party at Alex's house without telling her.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Classic. Kelly.
Classic Kelly move. So do we wrap up this story now or do we meanwhile and jump to the Mack parents?
Yeah, so meanwhile, George Mack and Barbara Mack are on a getaway at the Lava Springs wellness retreat, which George Mack has been forbade by his boss, Big Wig of Paradise Valley Chemical.
Daniel Atron.
Daniel Atron, that's right. Basically, she does what she seems to do in any meeting with any of her subordinates, which is tell them that they're not doing their job enough and they haven't made any progress and that they need to like work through the weekends and that she hates them.
Mm.
And so he's done a bunch of tests. The tests are inconclusive. They need to be verified. And so Daniel Atron tells him that he needs to work through the weekend and verify them because she's got an important business meeting of some kind that she needs to have those results for. But George ignores her request for him to go in and work on the weekend, and he gets his good pal Scooter down at the office to do the tests for him while he goes on a wellness retreat with Barbara, who is getting very horny. She is just like, you know,
gagging
down to f***. It was kind of uncomfortable how much she was wanting it. But Jesus.
Not something I picked up from this episode.
You didn't really? When she was just like, come on, we really, really need a holiday. It'll be private. We'll be away from the kids. And so they end up going on this trip. And the whole time Barbara is like trying to get into the, like the sensual mood where they're like doing that thing where you interlock your arms and drink
Who started that? Where did that come from?
I mean, it's at the same level as the Lady in the Tramp sausage, not sausage, spaghetti eating thing. That's the Australian version of it, is eating a sausage, eating a Bunnings sausage from both ends.
With your sweetheart.
But yeah, so there's a spanner in the romantic works of Barbara Mack, who's just wanting to get a little bit of George Mack love time, is that Daniel Atron is also at the same wellness retreat, and George has to spend the whole time kind of hiding from her while also being in contact with Scooter back at the office to make sure that all of these tests get done.
While also relaxing with his wife.
Yeah, so it's a very kind of sitcom-y situation you know, I've got to relax, but I can't relax. I'm getting a massage, but I'm also typing on my very 90s laptop. And it culminates in George Mack getting the results and kind of arriving at Danielle's walking downstairs. He runs up to her as if he's run all the way from Chemical Valley. He didn't even. he was so excited. He didn't drive. He decided to run all the way, and gives her the results, so she can show them to a bunch of elderly Japanese businessmen. Who it's kind of unclear what kind of deal they're making, but they seem very impressed by his yellow floppy disk.
Barbara Mack, not so much.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, while that's all happening, the party's raging at Alex's house, and Annie comes home and is super disappointed. I guess the idea is that she helps Alex figure out how to get all these people out of the house, but she's so condescending about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, Annie gets home and she kind of walks in on Alex really kind of getting angry at Kelly and saying, hey, I thought you were trying to be my friend. This is really not on. And then kind of Annie just rocks up and starts like tapping her toes and as if she's going to get them both in trouble. But it's very clear that Alex didn't do this intentionally. Yeah. And then she's just being a wet sock for no reason.
God, she's such a wet sock.
And it's like, I know that violence isn't the answer, but I just really wanted Alex to punch both Kelly and Annie in the face or just donk their heads together. Like, come on. Just can we all just like be a little bit more positive to each other?
Yeah. Yeah, so Annie's idea is for Alex to goopify herself and go through the heating vents to the laundry where the fuse box is, which will kind of cause weird electrical shorts in all the appliances and make all the appliances go crazy, which they do, and just kind of freak everyone out and make them leave the party. And also, you know, she has to, they're having these electrical faults. So she says, oh, we've got to turn off the TV and the stereo and all the lights go out. And she manages to get everyone to leave that way. Alex and Kelly have a little, showdown on the porch where Alex demands an apology, but doesn't get one from Kelly. God, she's awful.
Mm.
Lewis and Ray and Robin and Nicole help Alex and Annie clean up for a little while. But then Alex says, hey guys, don't worry. I got this. And Alex does what she does best and uses her powers to clean up marginally faster than she would be able to do by hand.
Yeah.
And then her parents come home and they're so impressed with how clean everything is. George Mack gives her a kiss and goes, mwah!
The end.
Oh, it was a bit of a dragger, this one.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, so we've gone back to work. The honeymoon period is over.
Yeah, the old A/B test.
I was really wondering, like, will the episode suffer? And it did.
Yeah, but I think it was also just
it might have just been a stinker.
I think it was a garbage episode.
Yeah.
Like I think Alex Mack itself is back at work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just really put it. Last week we had it was like Alex Mack was on a Christmas party, but now it's all sort of, just back to the drudgery of day-to-day being Alex Mack.
Yeah, by the numbers, yeah.
Mm. But what I did think this episode had, mentioned it before that Kelly referred back to a previous episode where Alex babysat for Kelly's family.
Yeah.
This episode also brought back Scooter for the first time. We've seen Scooter before. We didn't see him in this episode, but we heard all about him, and he was a pivotal character in George Mack's plan to do his work while he was away on holiday.
Mm.
Alex Mack calling back to previous episodes of Alex Mack hasn't really happened before.
Yeah. I guess that's true. It might have even been in previous seasons of Alex Mack.
Yeah. Those were old eps.
I think that actually, I think those two were towards the start of this season, but still.
Impressive.
Yeah, that's true. There is linear time in the Alex Mack universe.
That's what we can get, take from this episode.
Yeah. I mean, that's a silver lining, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get these parties that happen in these teen shows where like someone just gives a bunch of people information about there's a party at someone's house, and then on cue, like at a specific time, generally while it's still light outside, about 100 people kind of ascend or descend on the house, and they all bring with them
depending on whether it's uphill or downhill.
yeah exactly. They all bring with them all the prerequisite supplies to have a party, you know, your sound system, your red cups, your assortment of chips, and then they just kind of like force their way in. I don't understand how that works, like
how it
you
happens.
Just don't open the door.
yeah. Call the police. There are people trespassing.
Yeah. You just say, people rock up and say, is this where the party is? And you say, nope, no party here. Nope. Close the door.
No, you go to Lewis's house.
I don't know. Like, have you ever been at someone's house and they're unwillingly having a party?
So when I was must have been 19 or something, my friend James was living in a house that belonged to a friend of his parents. and he was renting this house with a couple of other guys. And the house was being, they were living there until the house was getting demolished so they could build a new house. And someone, I'm not sure how this happened, but word got out that there was a demolition party at this house.
Yes.
And things got really out of hand real quick. And I don't know. I don't know exactly how, again, I don't know how it like how it came to be, because I distinctly remember getting a message from James, my friend, inviting me to a demolition party. But I think it was the brainchild of someone else that he somehow got caught up in. And it was exactly that, like he was trying to get people to leave and they wouldn't leave, myself included. I completely include myself in this. But like it was like some primal instinct had taken over.
Yeah.
And everyone was just there, and like someone broke one thing and then it was on for young and old.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, did they get in trouble or anything? Like, did they have to get their bond back? Like, did they start like breaking walls and windows and shit?
Yeah, man. It was like, yes. Yeah. Windows, like people were going through, people were like throwing each other through plaster walls, knocking out like spray painting walls, tearing stuff down. It was like something out of a movie.
Wow.
And it was literally my friend Jane was like walking around begging people to leave and stop doing it, and they just wouldn't stop doing it.
Oh my God.
It was really dire. And he called the police like three times, and I don't know, they definitely arrived, but they couldn't break it up. They couldn't get people to leave, or they didn't try very hard. I'm not sure how that eventuated.
But
with
he
the police.
Branded it as a demolition party. Did he not know what that meant?
I would love to talk to him about it again, but I think it really scarred him.
Yeah. Hopefully he wasn't held responsible for it, because that's shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a much tamer version of this at the first share house that I lived in.
Yeah.
Where did you ever go there? It was a place near Nyka on Union Street.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah. And it was like, I think it was like $60 or $70 a week rent. Like, it was absolutely falling apart, this place.
Mm.
And they found out that I think they were going to renovate it and, you know, kick us out anyway, but they also found out that the back shed had asbestos in it. So I only lived there for about 3 months and then we got kicked out. And it had just been a share house for, you know, like 10 years.
Yeah.
And no one owned any of the like crockery or furniture or anything. Oh, yeah. And it was all really just like not worth taking stuff. Yeah. So like a couple days before we had to move out, it's one of those things where it started with just like, hey, do you want to do that like Greek thing of dancing and smashing some plates? And then we all got a taste for it. And by the end of it, I was like defending my stereo to stop my housemates from like carrying it onto the roof and throwing it off.
You got bloodlust.
Yeah, like people seriously were like wanted to kick the TV, and it's like, no, I'm taking that TV. But it was a lot of fun. There is something really fun about that. Did you remember there was that startup a little while ago in Melbourne where you could just go into a room and beat the shit out of like office supplies?
Yeah.
You could pay
$100
to just like get a bunch of old CRT TVs and like hit them with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. I remember when I moved out of a crappy share house, me and the three guys who lived there. We moved out, and we kind of, when we moved out, the same time we moved out, we all did a big clean out of all our shit.
Mm.
So we were throwing away a lot of stuff, and we took it down to the tip, and at the tip, for some reason, like I think that they'd emptied the compactor or whatever it was.
Mm.
So there was a real big drop from the ute we'd hired down into this big pit of where you just throw all your garbage.
Yeah.
And I remember being really enjoyable, like hefty entire armchairs and stuff into this big pit of despair.
Yeah. It's like looking into the void. Like, I don't know. There's something you just get taken by when you get that.
Feel powerful.
And I feel like you could do it to anyone, like the sweetest old lady. If you like just like forced her to you know, break some china with a hammer.
Yeah.
3 minutes later, she would be like crawling on the ceiling, just ripping stuff out.
You know, is there any correlation between this and I don't know whether it still happens, but those YouTube videos where like on iPhone release day, someone buys an iPhone and smashes it in the queue.
I think that's more of a trolling thing. Like,
yeah, right.
I think it's actually pretty funny because they do. The funniest thing about it is that they do it in front of the line of people who are all waiting, who don't know if they're going to be able to get one or not.
Yeah,
and I like it because it's like a big destructive, trolly, wasteful thing to do, but it's also kind of a political statement. Like, you shouldn't care so much about this. It's just a thing. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite funny.
Yeah, it is. I remember seeing years ago online somewhere the video. I think it's from. I think it was from A Current Affair. I think from when like the. Maybe not the first one, but maybe when the second iPhone came out, there was a Current Affair person or a news person at the Apple store where the first person in Australia bought one. And he comes out, he buys it, and he comes out of the store and they're chatting to him on camera as he's opening it, and he opens it and drops it.
Hey, I just found something that might be. So do you remember Corey? The guy who had that party
in the Sunshine Coast. Yeah, Party Boy Corey.
Party Boy Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he lived like down the road from where I used to live on the Gold Coast. But I just Googled him to see anything, and there's an article from this year.
Before you do that, Party Boy Corey, for anyone who doesn't remember, he threw a massive out-of-control party. This I'm at, what, 15 years ago?
2008,
yeah. Through a massive party where I think it got out of hand and people were like throwing bottles at cars on the street and stuff, like a really wild party. And then a couple of days later, he went on the news to like defend himself. And he was like, "Fuck it, man, I don't even care." And he was wearing no shirt, a big puffy jacket and white sunglasses.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Is that an accurate rendition of what Corey did?
Yeah, he had this kind of like weird yellow, like dyed hair, these big sunglasses and no shirt. And he just like gave zero f**ks and kind of just blew up. He went viral is what he did.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was on Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh, was he?
Like years later, like 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, what's he up to this year?
All right, well, I've just found like a listicle, which is 14 things you didn't know about Corey Worthington. And I haven't read it or vetted it. So do you want to know the 14 things?
I do. I'll add a 15th thing, is that I can't remember what the theme was, but once I went to a dress-up party as Corey Worthington.
That's good.
It might have been one-hit wonders. Anyway, go through the listicle. I want to learn about Corey Worthington.
Okay. I don't know the quality of this, so we'll see. What is Corey Worthington's real name? This is the first one.
Is it Corey Worthington?
It is. So far, so good.
So good.
Was anyone arrested at the party? Corey was taken into police custody and questioned about the party, but there are no reports of any other guests being arrested or taken into custody. Were any charges laid by the police?
I don't think so.
It's alleged that police charged Corey over matters arising from the party, but because he was a minor, these charges were not made public due to strict privacy laws.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so maybe.
Maybe.
Is Corey on Instagram?
Yes, Corey's definitely on Instagram.
And I'll give you double points if you can guess what his Instagram handle is.
At Party Boy Corey.
Yes. It's at Party Boy @PartyBoy_C_Worthington.
Yeah,
very
right.
Close.
That's good. I wonder if he's still trading off it. Like, do you reckon he does appearances at nightclubs?
I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Do you reckon he's on Cameo?
Well, I mean, he was on Big Brother and he wore the same outfit when he was on Big Brother.
Yeah.
Does he always wear sunglasses?
I reckon he might.
It says he wears them a lot.
God.
This is just the bottom of the barrel. Was he on Big Brother? Yes, we know he was. What does he look like now? Okay. Like the majority of us, Corey looks different than he did a long time ago. Oh my God, this is just written so badly.
So I guess Kelly from Alex Mack is the Corey Worthington of the Alex Mack universe.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a scene in this, in when the party's going, Alex makes the comment to a friend. She's like, how is this happening? I don't even know who half these people are. And then Lewis is like, well, let me explain.
And
then he goes around the episode, like pointing out who people are and giving them descriptions. Like, this is Frank Grillo, aka Knuckles. He's the captain of the football team. And then there's another guy whose dad owns all the used car dealerships in town. And the slick looking guy like puts a business card in his pocket, but he does it like addressing the camera.
I know. I really liked it. And then the camera went all like handheld. Like it just like suddenly turned into the real world for a second. Like,
yeah.
I actually really liked that sequence.
Hey, I'm just looking at this listicle and there is another thing at the end. Does Corey Worthington wear a hat?
She doesn't have a cat. Her mom's name isn't Pat. But she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that? It was just the one hat in this episode. Mate,
were you even watching the same episode? Heaps of hats.
Okay. What else we got?
Yeah, the green kind of bucket hat. She had a maroon cap. She had a navy cap, and she also had a classic sort of pink patchwork cap. But I did want to say that something we had prophesized before has come true. In a very early episode, we were lamenting the unoriginality of Alex's hats. And as a lark, we were talking about some funny hats that people could wear in Alex Mack, and we mentioned a beer helmet.
Oh, yeah, the party boys.
Someone at the party was wearing a beer helmet, notably without any beers in it, probably because, you know, they're all children.
They were drinking lemonade.
Yeah, but as is required for any party scene in an American film or TV show from the years of 1991 to 1999, someone was wearing a beer helmet.
Yeah. And one guy had a goatee, which I thought.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It's like either like there's a bunch of older kids coming to this party, which is a bit weird, or that's a very young person with a goatee.
It could be. Who was that character who was on like really briefly, who was obviously paid by a 40-year-old man?
Jerry, the ticket scalper.
Do you reckon Jerry was like, God, I thought Alex Mack was a sure thing, but I'm not really getting any work on it anymore. Do you reckon he grew a goatee and like applied under a different name?
No, this guy was over 3 foot tall.
Okay, right. Can't be Jerry then. Or he turns up not with a Jerry. goatee, platform shoes, a striped suit.
My name is not Jerry. I think I say this every episode, but I just don't understand why she doesn't go full carry on everyone. When she gets in these situations where she's kind of being pushed around, you've got fucking superpowers, girl.
Yeah. She actually, the instances where she did use her powers, apart from gooping herself to go through the vents to get to the fuse box, early in the episode, she is racing. She has to race back to her locker to get her essay or whatever before class starts. So she's racing through the hallways and she uses her zappy powers to like open doors for her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And then later in the episode, I saw when she was using her powers to clean the house, same shit as always. Once she was done, she used her powers from like the lounge room. She drove the vacuum cleaner all the way through the kitchen, opened up the door to the garage, and drove the vacuum cleaner into it from like two rooms away.
Yeah,
like that. She's never done that before. She's always had to have been looking at stuff to make it move around.
I think she's put the vacuum cleaner away before.
Has she?
I don't know. I feel like she does it in every episode.
Yeah. That's just the thing she's most practiced at, so that's why she's so good at it.
Yeah. I thought, because the kind of thing that I went for in the end was like, she went into the fuse box, which screwed with the electricity, which like you think would be dangerous for her, turning into water liquid. Anyway, and it kind of like makes the house look like there's a poltergeist or something.
Yeah.
And I thought that could have been a cool, like, you know, allusion towards a carry, like, thing, but not quite full carry. If she just like made the house seem like haunted and spooky or something.
Yeah. And scare everyone out. That's what you should have done. Yeah. Instead of everyone just kind of bored and left.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, yeah, Kelly could have been like, I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for these meddling kids. That's not a ghost at all. That's old man Wellickers.
Then she pulls off her mask and it's Jerry.
Why won't you take my calls?
Oh, well, I think that is just about going to do it for us for episode 16 of season 2 of The Secret World of Alex Mack. Callan, have you had a good time?
Yeah, I had a good time reminiscing about Corey.
I kind of had a good time with George Mack today.
That's true. George Mack's always good. He's good value.
Yeah, he's a good time, and his horn dog wife.
I mean, like, if you're married to George Mack, you know.
you know. Well, join us next time as we watch episode 17 of season 2 of The Secret World of Alex Mack. Until then, you can email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. Chuck us a rating or review on iTunes if that's your thing. Until next time, I've been Jack.
I've been Cal.
My best friend Ray thinks it's cool.
And my sister Annie thinks I'm a science project.
And she remains a wet sock. We'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.